My friends at MyPillow, my buddy Mike Lindell, told me he was coming out with a brand new product. It's called the new mattress topper. So I got the new mattress topper immediately, and I've been sleeping on it now for a couple of months. It's the best thing you've ever felt in your life. Now, you literally have MyPillow foam for support. It's a transitional foam that helps relieve pressure points, and it's ultra-soft, patented temperature-regulating cover. And I got to tell you, it has a 10-year warranty, a cover that's washable and dryable. It's made in the USA, backed by their 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Once you try this new mattress topper, you put it right over your mattress, you will never sleep better. And right now, you, my radio listeners, you're going to save 30% off when you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code TOPPER. And by the way, Mike will also give you two standard MyPillows absolutely free. All right, so try MyPillow.com, promo code TOPPER. Promo code TOPPER for this great deal and the best night's sleep you ever had.
There's a new unbiased social media platform all about conversation and community. Snippy.com. Snippy.com has quick updates on politics, sports, current events, food, fashion, and more. Scroll through users' posts, strike up conversations, browse the news feed, follow your favorite writers, express your thoughts, share your opinions, tell the world what makes you snippy. No shadow banning, no suppression of conservative thought, ever. Join us for free at Snippy.com. Let your opinion matter. Available at the Apple and Google App Stores.
All right, glad you're with us. A lot of breaking news as we come on the air. Right now, as we speak, the Senate voting on these dueling bills to end the shutdown. I don't think either one is going to pass, but it doesn't really matter much because there are a lot of things going on behind the scenes that my sources are sharing with me and that I will be sharing with you as the program unfolds today. We've got a lot of updates as it relates to the State of the Union. There is now an attack against anybody that dares to wear a Make America Great Again hat. Just the act of wearing that hat. You won't believe what Hollywood actors, actresses, fake news, CNN, conspiracy, TV, MSNBC, what they're all saying about it. It's insane. They're now bordering on insanity. We've got even more evidence of a failed media in this country. They will never, ever get the esteem that maybe they once had, or a certain level of esteem and trust back. The president and the border walls showdown that's going on. We'll hit all of this in the course of the program. Let me start with these votes. So you got two dueling votes going on. One is just to reopen the government. The other is to fund the wall and some other priorities that the president had mentioned Saturday in his offer of compromise to the Democrats. None of which, by the way, it's been falsely reported by some, none of which would have caused amnesty to occur. It would be a 3-year extension to help DACA, TPA and the Dreamers, et cetera. And the big issue, of course, is Nancy Pelosi saying no to the president. And you're not going to get into the House chamber. Now, we went over the constitutionality of all of this. I've talked to many constitutional scholars. I won't go over it again today, but in terms of the actual language, the president has the constitutional power to convene both houses of Congress. And as of now, I actually think he made the right decision. And stay with me here, because some of you say, why did he cave? He needed to go in and do it anyway. And here's what I think is the thinking behind the president. Now, the president can go to the Senate and give the speech. The president can cause a constitutional crisis and push this, I guess, to the Supreme Court and literally walk into the House chamber only to be blocked and have, you know, Supreme Court justices having to run into their rooms and decide right then and there what Article 2, Section 3 that we read numerous times yesterday has, what the meaning and interpretation is. Here's why it's a bad idea for the president to go to another location, in my opinion. If he goes to the Senate, well, you can't fit that many people in the Senate. You don't have the gallery. I went to one of, remember Louis Gohmert invited me as a special guest. I went to one of Obama's State of the Union addresses. I know, I sat through it. And I was as close to an interview as I ever got, way up in the rafters in the House chambers. And it's, but seeing it and then looking at the alternatives. Now, let's say, for example, I'll use an analogy. You're a popular band or yeah, a popular comedian or a popular act. Or maybe you're somebody that gives speeches. Like, I've given speeches in my life in some of the most beautiful majestic, incredible theaters you'd ever want to be in, like the Fox in Atlanta, or all these incredible places. And then I've given speeches in big rooms in a hotel with just chairs there. And they have these wall barriers that they can move in 150,000 different directions. Whoops, 500 more people showed up than we expected. Okay, just push the wall back. We'll add more chairs. And there's a huge difference in the room, in the quality, etc. There is a certain pageantry, if you will. There is something about that moment when in the House chamber, Mrs. Speaker, the President of the United States. And, you know, the amazing thing is even the people that hate the president, whatever side, whoever happens to be president, Democrat, Republican, there are people that will stay 14, 16 hours and they will pick one of the seats in the aisle for the very purpose when the president makes that slow walk up to the podium after that grand introduction. This is about grandeur. And to shake the president's hand so their constituents at home see them with the president, even if you're a Democrat and it's a Republican president or a Republican with a Democratic president. And I've watched it. The problem is picking another location. You lose that grandeur. And when the president, and it will happen, gives the State of the Union after the president. I don't know how this is going to play out, but I can tell you this. The president is going to get money for the wall and build the wall. Now, he has other ways that he can do it. There's a number of proposals out there. Some I don't like at all, and I've been very vocal about anything that would include amnesty. But if it's an extension, DACA, something that, you know, you make a deal, that's part of the art of the deal. That's the way politics works. But in this whole process, you got to understand that one side is actually fighting for something deep and profound. And that would be the president's fighting and sees this as life and death. The president sees this as his sworn duty as the commander in chief. He took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution is our laws. Everybody that enters this country is violating and not respecting our laws, our sovereignty, and our borders. And it's costing the American people dearly. You can't look in the eyes of an angel mom and dad and give them a talking point that this is a manufactured crisis. Whatever their reaction would be if you were dumb enough to do that, they can't be responsible for, because they've lost their children to illegal immigrants that have killed them. Oftentimes, illegal immigrants that had already been in our criminal justice system and then protected from deportation by liberal Democrats that support sanctuary cities and states that allows Democrats to aid and abet their escape from deportation. And then, in my mind, they also have culpability for whatever future crimes are committed. We're not protecting them. Now, you can't look, you know, think about how the opioid crisis is impacting this country. Every single one of us knows somebody that either lost a child, lost a family member, lost a friend, lost a coworker, somebody that's struggling with that addiction, but in and out of rehab. Everybody knows somebody that this is impacting. 90% of the heroin, that usually starts with pain pills, and I think this is something we have to grapple with. Pam Bondi did a great job down in Florida. You know, they have these pill mills, they call them. And what you do is you walk in, you say, oh, my back hurts. There's a doctor. Oh, where does it hurt? Okay. Well, what do you usually take for that? Oxycontin, oxycodone, hydrocodone, Vicodin, Percocet. Okay. Script out the door, pay your money. You get the drugs right there and then. That's not medicine. That is a sophisticated way of dealing drugs legally. And she stopped it, which is the right thing to do. And what happens is a lot of people get addicted to these opioids, these pills, these painkillers. If you ever get them, you know, handle with care. I'm not saying that they don't serve an appropriate role in life. People are in deep, deep pain at times. And maybe some people that are dying from horrible diseases, it eases their pain. You know what the last, I don't want one pain pill when I'm going out. I want to be
when
fully.
When you're in the woods?
Well, I've said that if I'm told that I have 3 months to live, I'm not going to sit there and let my family feed me applesauce and clean my bottom. I don't want that to happen. Why do you think that is so? That is selfless. That's not selfish. Why would I want to burden my family with 3, 6 months, a year of that treatment of me? Here, Dad, here's some applesauce. Dad, eat your applesauce. You know, Dad, come. Dad, stop. Get dressed. You need to get in the shower. Let me help you get in the. It's horrible. Your life is over when you're helping somebody you love. I know people want to do that. But as the person that we're talking about that might need the help, I don't want them wasting their lives on me at that point in my life. I'd rather they remember me when I was alive yelling at them, if it's a case of my kids. Remember the real me. Eat your applesauce. You know, you want your son Liam one day to be feeding you applesauce and cleaning your bottom? No.
I just enjoy hearing you say applesauce that many times in a row.
Well, you get my point.
Absolutely.
But anyway, so there's reasons at that point. Once you see somebody's on a morphine drip, let me tell you what they're doing. They're basically saying you're done. I don't want to be on a morphine. I want to be fully conscious at the moment that I die. I want to be aware. I want to know it's coming. I want to feel everything about it. I want to be able to pray with some sense of real consciousness about me and awareness of what's going on. Be thankful for the great life I had. And then interested in, okay, where am I ending up here? Which way? Hopefully up. Which I believe in heaven. I do believe in that. But my point is, we have these lives, and we've got to be careful. I don't want these pain pills in my life. You start with Vicodin, Percocet. You start with the Oxy. Then you leave it in the medicine cabinet. Then the kids get it. Then they like it. It makes them feel good. They get high. Their pain goes away. Their problems go away. They feel all good. Then the next thing you know, they want another one. Next thing you know, they're addicted. There are people that have said they took one OxyContin pill, one, and they were instantly addicted. And then they run out of money for the pills because they sell for about $80 on the street. And then, or you die because fentanyl is lacing that pill. And you die, you know, one pill. But the usual progression is that then you start taking heroin. Maybe you think, I'm never going to shoot heroin. Well, you'll chase the dragon. You'll put it on fire. You inhale the smoke. Or maybe you'll snort it. Well, then the next thing you know, you're taking a syringe because one of your, you're going to love this. $10 a bag, and that, you don't know where it comes from, except we know 90% of that heroin comes from Mexico. So when it's life and death, when it's safety and security, what are the Democrats, what's their fight here? They don't have a principled fight in this, except that they hate the president. That's all that it is about. What are they winning here? When the president offers them every single thing they said they wanted on immigration as a means of paying furloughed employees, as a means of securing the borders, and they won't go and protecting Dreamers and DACA, they're nowhere to be found. They're on vacation, lobbyists paid junkets, they're going on excursions around the world on our dime and ignoring every invitation by the president to talk, to speak. I'm saying there are things worth fighting for. Now, maybe there comes a point where the stalemate is what it is, and the president decides to declare a national emergency. I think at some point it may come to that, and I think the president's going to win. I think it is a clear and compelling case that can be made that open borders is a clear and present danger to the United States of America. Drug trafficking, human trafficking, criminals, gang members, cartels, that all the crime statistics bear out that it is a risk and that the president's trying to protect the American people. Who's Nancy Pelosi trying to protect? She's trying to protect Nancy Pelosi. She wants her base to love her or else they may throw her out. That's what it comes down to. One thing that is not political, it's smoking. That's about people. And there are 34 million Americans now that smoke. But for many, there's not been a clear alternative. Juul, for me, has been a game changer. I watch people all the time. They go outside in the middle of the freezing winter just to have their smoke. You don't have to do that anymore because of Juul. Now, people don't have to worry about the smell on your hands. Juul was specifically designed by smokers for smokers to be a satisfying alternative. It's a clean technology. Juul has no ash, no odor, no mess. If you're one of those 34 million adults who do smoke, you now know there's an alternative to cigarettes and cigars. Just go to Juul, JUUL.com/SwitchAmerica. That's JUUL.com/SwitchAmerica. Now, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. But just go to Juul, JUUL.com/SwitchAmerica. So what's really happening today is not what is being reported by the media. Now, it was 50 to 47 in the Senate on the president's plan. Guys like Mike Lee, Tom Cotton, and a few others didn't like the Republican plan, which they just wanted straight money and offering nothing on the other side in terms of the extension of DACA. It is not amnesty. It was never meant to be that. What's really going on, though, is there are now groups both in the House and the Senate of Democrats and Republicans behind the scenes that are putting together competing plans and also coordinating back and forth with each other that will get the president the $5 billion that he wants for border security. And they're close. They need a few more votes, I think, for the discharge petition in the House, which would be worthwhile. Kevin McCarthy saying to me last night that they would have a discharge position also on a number of issues. So it's just going to be one of those long Washington, you know, back and forth processes that most people don't really care a whole heck of a lot about. But it doesn't matter. Here's what the president is not going to give up on funding the wall. The president is not going, you know, when you believe in something and it's life and death and it's safety and security and you believe it's your sworn duty. This is what I thought we always said we wanted in politicians. You know, the night that Ted Cruz filibustered, remember that night, or the time that Rand Paul filibustered? I'm cheering. It's like finally somebody is fighting and standing up for the promises that they made. What was my biggest criticism of Republicans over health care? The House had 65 votes when Obama was president. Repeal and replace. And they get a president that actually would repeal and replace it. Number one, they weren't ready with health care cooperatives and health savings accounts and things that we've discussed and great ideas for 20 years. And then secondly, a bunch of Republicans, they became afraid. That's not what we need in people in Washington. That's why term limits are good. You go there, you do the right thing, you come home and go back to your regular job. All right, 25 now until the top of the hour. In our news roundup hour, we're going to go through some of the crazy, insane, and unbelievable laws that are being passed in all these liberal states as the Democratic Party becomes more radical, more extreme. It's the radical extreme Democratic Socialist Party of today. And, you know, Ocasio-Cortez is out there wanting her 70% tax rate and, of course, thinking the world is going to end, which is why Oscario kind of fits in terms of a nickname for her.
After you make $10 million in 1 year, your dollars after that start to get progressively taxed at a much higher rate. And really what that is that it's the tax interpretation of one answer to the question of how much is at what level are we really just living in excess and what kind of society do we want to live in?
Put the one about 12 years. I mean, how does somebody, like, it was like Al Gore saying that the earth is suffering from a fever. And he was making those crazy predictions. Now we've got Ocasio-Cortez. And, you know, if you get the 70% rate, then in New York, you get 10% more, her state. Then you get 4% city income tax. Then you got the highest property taxes. Then you got, on top of that, sales taxes and the largest property taxes in the country.
I think that the part of it that is generational is that millennials and people and, you know, Gen Z and all these folks that come after us are looking up and we're like, the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. And your biggest issue is your biggest issue is how are we going to pay for it? And like, this is the war. This is our World War II.
The planet has a fever.
Doom and gloom, and the only way to fix it. Remember, she has a 12-year plan to get us off of fossil fuels. All right. Hang on, I had to send out a quick text. Now New York. You want to know why New York, California, New Jersey, Illinois, they're all losing population, and you want to know why? Well, because of taxation, burdensome taxation, crazy liberal policies that literally prohibit everybody from doing business. Linda, why are you laughing so hard that you can barely contain yourself here? Tell her to put her microphone on. She entertains herself in the middle of this program. What is it? Put your mic.
What? I'm sorry. I can't talk right now.
Why can't you talk right now? Why?
I'm so sorry.
You're so sorry. Anyway, but it's so extreme. Yeah, let's give free health care to illegal immigrants in New York City. There's plenty of wealth, but it's in the wrong hands. Are you done now? What is it? What was so funny?
I'm sorry.
What was so funny? Just tell me.
You know what it is? It's like I've just worked with you for a very long time, and you just did to the audience what you do to me all the time, which is you give that mm-hmm like you're listening, but you're not actually. You're not paying attention at all, and you're just yesing me because you don't want me to go away. And you were like texting, finishing your text, and the music's going on and on. You're like, and I'm just like, my God, he's giving me.
I'm trying to actually get information for the show. I'm trying to find out what's going on in D.C. and what the latest battle is going on. We can literally walk and chew gum at the same time. Anyway, we'll get into all of these liberal laws and what the new radical extreme Democratic Socialist Party is all about. I will tell you, this is how insane it is getting. We'll get to this later, too. Alyssa Milano is now saying everyone that wears a MAGA hat identifies with an ideology of white supremacy and misogyny. A MAGA hat. Make America great again. That's what a MAGA hat is. Don Lemon over at CNN. Chaperones must educate these Covington students about why MAGA hats, Make America Great Again hats, trigger marginalized people. Conspiracy TV, MSNBC claiming anyone that wears a MAGA hat is looking to fight. Covington kids are symbols of white privilege. And it's insanity. Then you have this congresswoman, Omar from Minnesota, you know, sent out a tweet filled with falsehoods about these kids at this Covington High School. You know, it's amazing how they all rush to judgment here. Now, if you are pro-life and you're a kid and you're at a march for something that people disagree with, even though you're getting yelled at by really racist, bigoted, anti-Semitic, black Hebrew Israelites, and they're taunting you and calling you every name in the book, and you don't respond. I've seen no evidence to this second that the kids did anything wrong. The media says, look at what he did to this Native American that was just playing his drum. He got up in his face. No, the Native American Nathan Phillips guy, he walked up to the kids. And I guess he saw that there was some loud confrontation going on with the black Hebrew Israelites.
A bunch of child molester.
That's right.
Just like your damn Donald Trump.
That's, look at all these dusty crackers with that racist garbage on. Look at these dirty crackers. Crickets.
A bunch of future school.
That's right.
You crackers got some damn nerves. That's why everybody hates your ass.
That's right.
The biggest terrorist on the face of this earth is the pale-faced man, woman, and child.
Uh-huh. So those were the people that were causing the havoc when these all went down. And now, if this is it, so let's talk about Make America Great Again. Okay, so President Trump runs on doing certain things. And we'll talk about the socialist utopia extremist dream of the new radical extreme Democratic Socialist Party and what Donald Trump has done and what the results are. Because I told you many times in the 2016 campaign that this election was about the forgotten men and women in America. Who are the forgotten men and women I was talking about? You know, I got a painting, The Forgotten Man. It's on the wall of my studio. We'll take a picture and tweet it out. Alyssa Milano says, everyone with a MAGA hat identifies with an ideology of white supremacy and misogyny. And chaperones must educate Covington students about why MAGA hats trigger marginalized people. Well, okay, under Obama's policies, and most of these Hollywood liberals loved Obama, and the media never vetted Obama the way we did about Frank Marshall Davis, Acorn Alinsky, the Church of GD America, Ayers, Dorn, unrepentant terrorists, beginning their career, Obama in the House of Unrepentant Domestic Terrorists. They never did their job there. But make America. So what's happened? Well, Obama left 13 million more Americans on food stamps. Well, now we have 5 million fewer people on food stamps since the president has gotten elected. Oh, and we've gotten almost half. Obama left 8 million more Americans in poverty. 8 million. And we have news out today that weekly jobless claims are the lowest since 1969. That's the year I was 8 years old. That's the year the Mets won the World Series, 1969. I can tell you the whole lineup, too. Jobless claims today are at the lowest level in 49 years. All right, so MAGA hats trigger marginalized people. Well, people under Obama, 13 million more got on food stamps, 8 million more got in poverty. Lowest home ownership rate in 51 years. We doubled our national debt. He took on more debt than every other president before him combined. Is that not marginalizing the American people? Are they not marginalized, those bad policies? Let's redistribute the wealth policies, burdensome regulation that literally took away all incentive from business to ever invest in anything in the country. Now, the lawyer for these Covington kids is now threatening to sue. This is a good issue. We'll get into it with our lawyers later in the program. They're now going to sue anybody in the media or any of these Hollywood people that falsely smeared, libeled, or slandered these kids as racist and putting words in their mouth that they never used. In other words, they're going to sue several major media outlets for libel unless they publicly retract their false reporting. They're giving them until Friday. I don't even know why they bother giving them time. Just go out there and sue. You have a case. They said one thing happened, and then they went with hours and hours of commentary that was false, defamatory, and libelous. And these are teenagers that they did it to. Anyway, their attorney, the kid's attorney, Robert Barnes, and he said on Fox and Friends yesterday that they're discussing all the legal options with the families, and Barnes is giving major media and celebrities 48 hours to retract and apologize or face a lawsuit. He said these are private citizens and many of them minors. And he said the law is that you say anything about them, it's libelous, and you don't have a defense of actual malice. All you have is to prove is negligence. You know, the difference between, you know, one of the reasons you can pretty much say anything about me. You can write anything about me. You can lie about me. You can smear me, slander me, libel me. But because I'm a public figure, the bar is so much higher because you have to prove there's malice. How do you get into somebody's mind and what their intent is? It's just almost an impossible standard to reach, which I also think should be changed, too. You know, then you have the freshman congresswoman from Minnesota, Omar. Well, she had to go out there and delete her tweets. She rushed to judgment as well, and everybody else in between. Anyway, so the lawyer's given them now 34 hours, and I think it's a good idea if they just go for it. I would take the, if they don't do it by now, then that's not going to happen. You know, when you stand up for something that is right, though, you know, I'll give you an example. The president talked a lot about, and I read that there was a Nassau County Police Department. Nassau County's the second highest property tax county in the country. I know because I was born in that county, Not in a big house, in a little baby house, you know, 50 by 100 lot. Three older sisters, one bathroom. The definition of hell on earth. You never get to use it, especially when you need it. I gotta go. That's traumatized me.
That's why they made bushes.
That's what I did. Bushes at the back of the garage. Or I'd be knocking on Mr. Mintz's door next door. Saying, can I use, please? They'd have some mercy
on
me.
Those were the days, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Those were the days. I made sure I got extra bathrooms in any house I bought since or apartment that I rented.
You traumatized.
I was too traumatized. anyway, so things are so bad in Long Island. I grew up in Long Island. There's still nice parts of Long Island, but there's some that are really horrible. And a top Democratic official there is on defense after the president blasted her Wednesday for trying to shield in prison MS-13 gang members from deportation from ICE. Now, it just so happens that apparently they were in custody at the very jail my mom worked 25 years at. Yeah. Anyway, Trump called out the Nassau Democrats during this meeting yesterday with conservative leaders at the White House over the decision to remove U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement from the county jail. That's the jail my mother worked at. My mother was a prison guard for, well, I think 25 years. And anyway, see Long Island, they don't want ICE. The radical Democrats don't want ICE there because they're too good. They do their job too well. And he said the really radical Democrats don't want them there because they don't want anything to disrupt MS-13. Why would they refuse? This isn't a sanctuary county that I know of. I guess New York soon to follow. It's just, you know, basically the little brother, sister state of California, whatever dumb radical thing they do, New York is going to end up doing. Anyway, the decision is an opportunity to make clear our immigrant communities that Nassau Police Department is not focused on deportation. The Nassau County executive said, well, if they're criminals in a jail having committed another crime, not just entering the country illegally, those are the people that we ought to be sending home. Because those are the people that represent a danger to innocent people. And the decision is, and I don't think the Nassau County police officers believe this in any way, shape, matter, or form. I know a lot of these guys. They're friends of mine. The group like the Nassau Police Benevolent Association opposed the decision. It said, the president said that I wanted to personally thank President Trump for weighing in on this very important issue and calling out those who want to interfere with the police cooperation with ICE while fighting the violent gang MS-13. So it's not the cops. Good grief. It's unbelievable. You know what? At what point do we not say they have blood on their hands? The politicians. They're, you know, you have murderers, rapists in jail. They serve their time. They're supposed to be deported by federal law, but they step in, aid and abet their escape back into society to commit even more crimes.
The racist played out in Washington yesterday on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. Some students harassing an older Native American man, a Vietnam vet.
The situation came to a head when that young man there, wearing a Make America Great Again hat, got right in his face and didn't move.
The video appears to show dozens of youths wearing Make America Great Again hats, mocking Native American elder and Vietnam veteran Nathan Phillips.
Yesterday, a Native American man was confronted by young people with right. Make America Great hats on. There's something wrong with that.
Outrage over this now viral video showing high school teenagers harassing a Native American elder.
When you have the kind of anger that we saw at the Indigenous People's March, where a veteran, a Native American man, was, you know, had a standoff with students who were, you know, mocking him.
A crowd of teenagers surrounding a Native American elder and other activists as one smirking high school student blocks the elder's path.
We feel that President Trump is giving license to some of this behavior.
Another man of peace stands face to face with bigotry.
The elder says the encounter with the group, an intense stare down with the one teen in particular, leaves him fearful of the future.
This kid in the front thinks it's somehow acceptable to stand in the face of this Native American man.
It's not just him that disturbs me. It's the others. It's his schoolmates there that are having fun with it. They think it's funny.
It interests me that we're at a day and age where we see things like this occur.
Those protesters who were on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, the Native American man who was beating the drum, Nathan Phillips, and those kids in the Make America Great Again hats that were kind of smirking at him and kind of looking down their noses at him.
We only hope that they're in the minority, hopefully, that kind of action.
All right, as we now know, by the way, glad you're with us. Hour 2, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. As we know, that first initially released 30-second snippet that the media put out and the rush to judgment of the media, the declarations of racism. Well, when you got to see more of the video, nobody bothered to ask questions. They just ran with one narrative that you have a bunch of kids that are pro-life, that are there for the pro-life rally. Oh, and they're wearing Make America Great Again hats, which now in and of itself is becoming a massive controversy. Listen to liberal Hollywood activist Alyssa Milano. Everyone in a MAGA hat identifies with an ideology of white supremacy and of misogyny. No, that's not true. The people wear Make America Great Again hats because they want the country to be great again. Maybe Alyssa doesn't know that today we hit a 49-year low in terms of jobless claims in the United States. The U.S. weekly jobless claims is now the lowest since 1969. That would be wanting to make America great again, having the record low unemployment for Black Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, women in the workplace, youth unemployment. That would be about making America great again. That's what the agenda is about. And she's not the only one. Over at fake news CNN, you got Don Lemon saying chaperones must educate Covington students about why Make America Great Again hats trigger marginalized people. Well, why would they trigger marginalized people, considering when Barack Obama left office after 8 years, we had 13 million more Americans on food stamps, 8 million more in poverty, the worst recovery since the 40s. The lowest labor participation rate since the 70s, lowest home ownership rate in 51 years. And he doubled the national debt. A guy that once said $9 trillion in debt is irresponsible and unpatriotic. He himself accumulated more debt than every other president before him combined.
The way Bush has done it over the last 8 years is to take out a credit card from the Bank of China in the name of our children, driving up our national debt so that we now have over $9 trillion of debt that we are going to have to pay back. That's irresponsible. It's unpatriotic.
It's not just Alyssa Milano and fake news CNN. Now you got conspiracy TV, MSNBC. They claim anybody wearing a MAGA hat is looking to fight Covington kids or a symbol of white privilege. But wait a minute. I just gave you the numbers. 2 years of Trump and his economic policies have created the lowest numbers of people, Black Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, women in the workplace, record low unemployment levels. Oh, so maybe that headline is more, is that white privilege or is that the privilege of our fellow Americans that were left behind, the forgotten men and women in the Obama years, now having an opportunity that they didn't have before because of the policies of this president? Now, what's also getting interesting is there is now talk that I believe is very serious. The lawyer for these Covington kids has given all of these people in the media and Hollywood 48 hours. And these kids were falsely smeared by the media as racist. And they're now threatening to sue several major media outlets for libel unless they publicly retract their false reports by Friday of this week. That would be tomorrow. The attorney, Robert Barnes, anyway, he was on Fox and Friends yesterday, said that to discuss the legal options of the kids and the families, and he's given every major media outlet, every celebrity, 48 hours to retract and apologize or face a lawsuit. He said because of all these private citizens, many of them are minors, the law is that saying anything about them is libel. and you don't have a defense of actual malice. All you have is to prove negligence. And rushing to judgment, I think, by any measure would be negligence. And then you have Representative Omar from Minnesota. Well, she now is apparently deleting her attack of the Covington students. I don't think that's retraction. I think it should be retraction, admitting the mistake, doing it as prominently, if not more so, than what you originally said. There's a lot of other issues involved in all of this. Anyway, joining us now, we have Danielle McLaughlin, attorney, constitutional expert, co-wrote the Federalist Society, How Conservatives Took the Law Back from Liberals. David Schoen, civil liberties attorney, criminal rights attorney. Thank you both for being with us.
Thank you, Sean.
By the way, Danielle, I heard you had the baby. I saw the pictures, and welcome back. We're glad to have you back.
Thank you. It's great to be back. Thanks for having me. She's 2 months old. She's mercifully sleeping right now. Everything is good.
So well, if you put the radio up nice and loud, maybe we can wake her up. And I can I can baptize her a conservative in no time. It won't take any time to get her away from your liberal indoctrination.
We'll see about that.
Well, let's talk about the law. And it's very simple, Danielle. When you libel somebody, they did not do their due diligence. They took a snippet of a video that didn't show the black Hebrew Israelites viciously attacking these kids. Listen to this.
This is the religion of America. That makes America great again. A bunch of child molester.
That's right.
Just like your damn Donald Trump.
That's, look at all these dusty crackers with that racist garbage on. Look at these dirty crickets. That's right.
You crackers got some damn nerves. That's why everybody hates your ass.
That's right.
The biggest terrorist on the face of this earth is the pale faced man, woman, and child.
They said this kid was taunting. It was apparently an indigenous people's march going on as well. And Nathan Phillips, he walked up to the student himself. But that was not the way they said. They got all the facts of this story wrong. They did no due diligence. Are they on the hook for libel? Yes or no?
Well, there's no straight answer, I'm afraid. Libel or slander, it has to be a statement of fact, right? So it has to be. It can't be opinion. It can't be a characterization of the boys' behavior. It can't be calling them racists. It has to be a statement of fact that, in the case of these boys are not public figures, so they're private figures. So you have to be negligent with that statement of fact. So basically, you have to have not done your due diligence, and you have to said something about them that you should have known was wrong but didn't know was wrong. So I understand.
So saying that the kids are racist is and not, they didn't even try, Danielle. They didn't ask for more video. They just ran with it. Nobody interviewed these kids to find out what had actually happened. Nobody sought the context of the moment. That was negligent on their part, and as a result, they ruined the reputation and attempted to slandered the reputation of these young kids.
Where I think there may be some liability, there's another avenue that can be pursued when the behavior is really outrageous, and I think this goes to what happened on Twitter with some of the people that were doxing these children and their families. There is a tort called the intentional infliction of emotional distress, and if you can show, if these boys can show that there was some extreme and outrageous conduct, which might be the doxing, that was inflicted upon them intentionally that caused them severe emotional harm, there is some Kentucky law that might provide for them a means by which they may, get some damages.
And David, by the way, I know you represented the National Democratic Party in the past and, represented them at a trial years ago when Ron Brown ran the party and they got sued. You actually won. But I see a lawsuit here and I see all of those news organizations, they're all going to have to pay. And all the celebrities are going to have to pay.
Listen, I think he's got a case for libel here. I'm just not sure that's the answer in this case. I'll tell you what troubles me the most. You mentioned it earlier, and now you've sort of tied it in with the Democratic Party. The tweet by Representative Ilhan Omar is absolutely outrageous. She deleted it, but here's exactly what she said. She said, these boys, meaning the Covington boys, yelled, "It's not rape if you enjoy it." Since they found out that the person who said the videos had no idea whether the person who yelled had anything to do with Covington. And she said the Covington boys were taunting five black men before they surrounded Phillips and led racist chants. She's since deleted that. She's a United States member of Congress, part of the Democratic Party. She has the umbrella of the Democratic Party. I was very proud to represent the Democratic Party of the United States in the past. Very proud. And we won at trial.
By the way, let me stay on this point, though. We know that it wasn't the kid. We actually have the tape of that rape comment, and it wasn't right. any of the Covington kids. And
it's not rape if you enjoy it. He is not going to come down.
That's not one of the Covington High School students.
That's right. So, and remember also who these Black Hebrew Israelites are. This is a hate group. Southern Poverty Law Center has enlisted as a hate group. If you ever were to walk in Times Square and wear a yarmulke, where they regularly perform just about every day, they'll scream and threaten and intimidate you. You're not the real Jews, etc. It goes on and on. And that's what they were doing with these high school kids. But think about this. We know now that Omar tweeted this. This comes on the heel of her other anti-Semitic tweets. We see Tlaib with anti-Semitic tweets over and over and over again. I never thought in my life I would see the day that the Democratic Party of the United States opened its umbrella wide enough to not only include anti-Semites, avowed anti-Semites, but to honor them. These people have been given now seats on very prestigious committees in Congress. They are avowed anti-Semites and anti-Israel. The Democratic Party has never wanted to be known in the past as being anti-Israel. It's one thing not to stifle free speech. It's another to reward these people and not speak up when they say these horrible things. People today, because they saw the Omar tweet and other things, are still saying that the reports originally were right. Some people still haven't even deleted their tweets or retracted them. And there was outrage by some quarters when the boy from Covington was given an interview on TV. We shouldn't even get to hear him speak.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll come back more with Danielle McLaughlin and David Schoen on the legality of all of this. Then Jonathan Gillum and Geraldo will battle out on the other side of this break. Our news roundup, information overload, and your call hour coming up in our final hour today.
Robert, I understand people emotionally taking sides, but where does the legality of this come in?
Well, because these are all private citizens, and in many cases, minors and kids, the law is that it's saying anything false about them is libel, and you don't have a defense of actual malice. It's all you have to prove is negligence. So a lot of these journalists have been saying false statements about these kids, false statements about the kids that are at the Lincoln Memorial, false statements about kids that were in various photographs related to the school, slurring and libeling the entire school and all the alumni for the school. And all you have to prove is that they were negligent in doing so, and by this standpoint, by this point in time, it is clear that anyone who continues to lie and libel about these kids has done so illegally and can be sued for it.
Robert, why do you want to do this? Why do you want to help the families?
Well, the nature of libel lawsuits is that generally it's very hard to bring. They cost between $250,000 and $1 million in legal fees to bring.
All right, as we continue with David Schoen, attorney, also our friend, welcome back, Danielle McLaughlin. Real quick, as we wrap this up here, I think they have a good suit. If you were representing any of these clients that made these false libelous claims against these kids, would you recommend they rescind and apologize, Danielle?
Absolutely, yes. That's easy. That's an easy one.
You would. And what would you do, David Schoen?
Of course, with or without a lawsuit, they lied. They were wrong, and they lied. And this comes on the heels of the BuzzFeed scandal, which still hasn't been fully corrected. It's outrageous.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. But all right, thank you both. When we come back, all right, the president has offered the Democrats everything they say they wanted on immigration, but they still won't give. And the media, so wrong so often, will they ever gain back the trust of the American people? I think it's impossible. We'll get Geraldo's action, Jonathan Gillum's action as we continue. Then our news roundup, the other news of the day coming up at the top of the hour, and your calls as we continue this edition of the Sean Hannity Show.
How hard are you pushing the White House for another face-to-face meeting with the president? I mean, how do you work this out if you don't sit down and talk with him?
Well, we have met. We've met every time. The last time we met, it was a photo op for the president to leave the room. But they know full well that we're here in order to have any conversations.
Do you think that would be valuable?
It's the president of the United States. We meet with him anytime he wants to meet, and I've never discouraged anybody from meeting with the president. You give me an opportunity to say this. We first sent them what they did, pure and simple, Senate Republican leadership legislation. They said no. They said no. Why would they say no when they passed it 92-6, in some cases 100 unanimously in committee, and sometimes with a vote of Mitch McConnell because he's an appropriator? The Republicans on this side said, Why would we just pass something the Senate did when we negotiated these bills and we have conferenced, have our conferences on them? So we said, okay, this week we'll bring up the bills as conferenced House and Senate. Still, they said no. We gave them what they asked for, and still not enough Democrats, Republicans voted for. But we had the votes to pass it in the House, and that's another thing that the Senate could take up. But today is simple. It's about $12 billion for disaster assistance, plus 2 weeks of open up government. Who can say no to that? So that for 2 weeks, we can have this debate.
When you sent the initial letter, you didn't think the government should be shut down?
No, I did not. I did, especially since we were giving them back exactly what they gave us. I guess I had better hopes for the concern that the Republicans in the Senate might have for the concerns of working people in our country.
All right, there we have the continuing debate. There is Crazy Nancy, can't make up her mind or anything. And, of course, she is beholden to her new radical extreme Democratic socialist base. And look at all the invitations she's missed. She went to Hawaii. President Trump stayed in Washington. She was headed on a junket. President Trump stayed in Washington on a taxpayer paid junket that would have guaranteed that furloughed workers miss yet another check. No possibility of negotiations. They're invited to negotiate a full weekend with the vice president. They send their aides to negotiate with the vice president of the United States. Almost on a daily basis, Democrats are invited by the president to come to the White House to sit down and to come to some type of resolution on this. Now, for the president, it's very clear. He made it clear again yesterday. This is about life and death. This is about keeping America safe and secure. The president has talked about the 90% of heroin that crosses that border, that comes into this country, 90% of it right from down there. And, of course, the new drug, fentanyl. He's talked about that 2% of people, the criminal element, that have been responsible. We've talked to angel moms and dads that have lost their kids to illegal immigrants. That's real permanent separation. We've talked about assaults and sexual assaults committed by illegal immigrants and how even sanctuary city and state policies, even when we know people are criminals that had entered this country illegally and they commit other crimes, well, then we give them added protection. And the government in certain states and cities are aiding and abetting whatever future criminal activities may happen. On top of that, it's costing per average illegal immigrant $70,000 a year per taxpayer. That's on top of, you know, an overburdened criminal justice system, and our healthcare system is impacted and our educational system is impacted. And the president is saying no to the drugs, the cartels and the gangs and those people, the bad elements that are at our southern border because it's wide open. On top of everything, the president went out on Saturday, said, you want DACA? Okay, let's do DACA. You want TPA? Let's do TPA. You want to take care of Dreamers? Let's take care of the Dreamers. Reaching out still before he even gave that address or offer, they said no. And they refused to go to every meeting of every day that the president's offered. Joining us now, Jonathan Gillum, former FBI agent, federal air marshal, author of Sheep No More, Geraldo Rivera, Fox News legal analyst, author of the bestseller, The Geraldo Show. And, you know, Geraldo, you kept saying, let's have a deal. Let's make a deal. Well, the president offered your deal, and still they won't talk to the president. So I think
they won't, Sean. I get that. But don't despair, because at the very beginning you called the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, Crazy Nancy. What is interesting to me, our friend the President of the United States has not resorted to denigrating or
not denigrating her. I mean, I think, listen, she has a party now that is declaring that the world is going to end in 12 years. That's a little nutty, Geraldo.
That's crazy stuff. But I
that's crazy stuff. You use the exact word, crazy.
Well, I am keen on preserving the institutions. The fact that the president yielded to the speaker on possibly postponing the State of the Union address, I think, even though he had to give something, was an appropriate move by the president to show that he respected the institution, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. You know, she controls the ornate chamber of the House. I think that is a good thing. And
actually, Article 2, Section 3 would allow the president to do it if he wanted, but he chose not
but
to.
But he did the right thing. He did the right thing. Because we don't want to destroy the enemy here. What you want is conciliation and negotiation, and I'm starting to see around the edges, finally. You know what the problem is? Nancy Pelosi will not give Trump any money for the wall. The president won't open the government until she yields. So you have this ridiculous impasse that's hurting hardworking federal employees, and I think that it is distressful, but I think that we'll get through this, Sean.
All right, Jonathan Gillum, what do you think?
Well, you know, I really think that there's no more institution in government. I think, you know, when we say we respect that the different branches of the government, the reality is there's only two parties. It doesn't matter if it's the Senate or if it's the Congress. The only balance and check that we have in Washington, D.C., and I'm saying this with a completely neutral heart and looking at how this works, is that we have a president that stands up to the pomp and circumstance of Washington, D.C. He's done it to his own party. He's doing it to the Democrats now. And I say, he's going down the right track. You know, I'm at SHOT Show right now. I've been talking to thousands of people. And it's not just that they support the president. It's that they understand what he's doing and they support him. And I think it's very, very important. I think he should stick to his guns. And if anything, if he ends up doing the emergency thing where he has to declare an emergency situation down there, a national security issue, and builds this wall, and then opens the government, and then makes them come back and debate him on whether or not he gives them the things that he said he would when he was willing to compromise, he's got them. And people are supporting him. I even talked to Border Patrol agents here that are not getting paid, and they said they want him to keep going the way he's going.
Yeah, well, I think, look, I don't think the president's ever given up on this wall. And most Americans don't really care that much. I know some people are inconvenienced. I'm worried about the furloughed employees. I want them to get their checks. Republicans tried to do that. And, of course, Democrats wouldn't go along with that plan. There's a lot of gamesmanship. But this is what I see happening. I see a president for years, Geraldo. We want politicians to stand on principle. We want them to stand for what's right. We want them to fight for the promises that they make when they ask us to go out and vote for them. And this was one of the president's big promises. I mean, I think one of the...
I agree. It was his central theme. And the
correct.
This is the reason for Brexit. This is the reason for all the discontent in Europe. This is the reason the midterm elections were not the disaster that the Democrats were hoping to inflict on the Republicans. But this is what I think the president can do today that I think that will really help him. And I instantly agree with everything, as I usually do, with that Jonathan just said. But what I would like to tomorrow, for instance, here in Northeast Ohio in Cleveland, I'm inviting all furloughed federal employees to Harbor Inn, the oldest bar in Cleveland. I'm buying. So tomorrow, 11:30, Harbor Inn, Cleveland, come on. I want the president to do stuff like that. For example, Sean, there's a group called interestfree.org that gives interest-free loans to employees who have the interruption in their salaries. Interestfree.org. I want the president to do a little more to alleviate.
Well,
in fairness,
the Republicans voted to give the furloughed employees their checks. Well, they wouldn't go along with that. So you can blame the Democrats for that. By the way, if I was in Cleveland, I'd go join you at the bar.
I know you would, and you know exactly what it would be like.
Yeah, but I usually get the check. I just, you know, I think I'll let Geraldo.
You are one of the most generous people I've ever known.
Look, but, you know, it's funny because look at how people react to this president. Look at the media. Look at BuzzFeed. Look at the way they've reacted to the Covington kids. We now have the lawyer for those kids saying that, well, OK, if you lied about them and you libeled them and you smeared them and slandered them, well, we're going to hit you with a lawsuit unless you rescind it and apologize in 48 hours. Now it's gotten to the point where Alyssa Milano says everyone in a Make America Great Again hat identifies with an ideology of white supremacy and misogyny. Don Lemon literally says chaperones must educate Covington students about why Make America Great Again hats trigger marginalized people. MSNBC claiming anyone wearing a MAGA hat is looking to fight. Covington kids are a symbol of white privilege. And, you know, Geraldo, I have a story out today. It says jobless claims now hit the lowest level in 49 years, the lowest level since 1969. And we already know we have record low unemployment for who? for Hispanic Americans, African Americans, Asian Americans, women in the workplace, and youth unemployment is at an all-time low. That's what makes America great again. But look at where the left takes everything with this president. And if they either make it up or they just they're so fixated on their hatred of him and blinded by it. It has become a psychotic, you know, almost a mass psychosis with these people.
I'm in a feud right now. I don't know if you know, with Alyssa Milano, because I called her to the carpet for that awful, sloppy, intellectually corrupt generalization that anyone who wears a MAGA hat is a white supremacist. I think that that's the kind of stereotyping that has gotten the country in the trouble that we're in now, the division we are in right now. We have to, stop looking at the at our political opponents and immediately assuming the worst about them.
Look at the record unemployment. And then you have people say, well, if you wear a Make America Great Again hat, that means you support the ideology of white supremacy and misogyny. I think the answer is no, you support successful economic policies that have helped more minorities than any previous administration since Ronald Reagan.
You know, Sean, I choose to listen to people like yourself or even Geraldo. I mean, I tell you, when I come on here with Geraldo, he makes more sense than any other quote-unquote liberal I've ever been with, and I think he's got a good head on him. But he's got a background. He's got an education.
That's for hanging out with Hannity.
It's my life's mission to change him.
Well, he's got real experience in life, and I think he's slowly coming around. But the thing is, why are we entertaining people like Alyssa Milano? That is who the Democrats use as their echo chamber to go out there and do stuff. She played a witch on TV. That's all she's ever done. And it kills me when we have people like that are going out and insulting 16-year-old kids, and not just insulting, but causing people to actually threaten them. There's some guy who sings country music. I can't remember what his name is, but saying that he needed to have his rear end beat. And if anybody in Kentucky knows him, go beat him up for him. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff like that. And I just think that what's happening now, the good side of this is that, like, these things that just got passed in New York City, these abortion laws, they're getting so outrageous that they're bringing people that consider themselves liberal but not extremists and conservatives together. And the reality is their lingo is starting to become very similar. And that is a promising thing for me. I mean, I know we're in bad shape here, and this shutdown is hard, and things are on the other side are good that president's doing, but it's not being recognized. But overall, it's bringing people together because they're seeing politics for what it is. And I just want to say one other thing. I'm here at SHOT Show, and I feel like I'm your little brother.
Why?
If Jesus had a brother, I would be the brother, the little brother, because everywhere I go, everybody says, Jonathan Gillum, I hear you on Hannity.
Oh, great.
And that's all I get.
You notice he says the little brother. That means I'm the older brother with grayer hair. Thanks a lot, Jonathan. Yeah.
I'd be the Jesus bad older brother. I'd be the one taking him to the bar and
exactly. And get
loosen up.
Oh no, it's gonna be far worse than that when you hang out with Geraldo. But you'll never have more fun in your life. All right, guys, thank you, appreciate it. When we come back, News Roundup, Information Overload Hour, the Sean Hannity Show continues straight ahead.
You hear a lot of talk that there are experts that say that walls don't work. I promise you that if you interview Border Patrol agents, they will tell you that walls work.
It comes down to border security. And we're extremely grateful to President Trump. And we fully support what he is doing to take care of our nation's borders, to take care of the future of this United States.
ICE has been doing an amazing job in deporting a lot of these people back to their countries. Unfortunately, once we deport these people will not stay in their country. These criminal aliens that have been released from jail, that have been deported, will come right back into the United States. However, if we had a physical barrier, if we had a wall, we would be able to stop that.
The cooperative efforts of ICE and gang investigators within the correctional setting is an invaluable resource to combat gang violence. It is basically one of the tenets of what law enforcement is all about, combating crime through the sharing of information. Again, dedicated cooperation between law enforcement organizations is what combats gang violence on Long Island. Nassau County Sheriff's Department gang investigators work hand in hand with ICE agents and Nassau County Police gang investigators to protect public safety in Nassau County. Cutting off this valuable resource for any reason is an affront to the taxpayers and residents of Nassau County who depend on their elected and appointed officials and law enforcement agencies to keep them safe.
All right, News Roundup, Information Overload Hour. We get to your calls coming up as we continue this hour. I promise, 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. All the other news, we always come in with so much news and so many things that we don't get to. That's why we're dedicating this final hour to the news we haven't yet gotten to. And, of course, your calls, your input, your opinions, which matter the most. So here's how bad things are. We got Ocasio-Cortez, and we have played at length the extremist statements. Of course, the world is going to end very shortly. It's only going to end in 12 years. And the only thing you care about is paying for it. What? Yeah, you got to whatever extreme plan you have to save the world is going to cost us a fortune. All right. Then you got the 70% tax that she wants as well. So we're doing Hannity last night. And I guess she's watching. AOC is watching and tweeting out screenshots of my television program. Now, Mark Levin had invited her on.
Huh?
Well, Mark Levin had invited her on the day before. And I said, well, she knows maybe I'll have it autographed and put it on my desk. I'll go to Washington and we'll do a 3-hour radio show with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez because she's trying to scare us. Why do you say no? Why? You don't want to do a 3-hour show?
3 hours with her? I mean, are you trying to torture us? I mean,
this is not okay.
Why does she really want Americans to believe the world is going to end in 12 years?
Because
that's a scare tactic.
Because she knows nothing and she needs to scare people in order to be relevant.
But a 70% tax rate, right now, add it all together. In her state, New York, you got a 10% state income tax. Then you got a 4% city income tax. Then you got the highest property taxes in the entire country in many of the counties like Westchester and Nassau and Suffolk counties. Then you got sales taxes. Then you got hidden taxes. I mean, there's no money left. And this is their socialist dream. But then you got, then in California, you got the same. This is what the extreme leftist, radical New Democratic Party, Socialist Party represents. Gavin Newsom, free health care for everybody. Free, free, free. Illegal immigrant, free health care. Comrade de Blasio, plenty of wealth in New York. It's just in the wrong hands. Well, how did it get in the wrong hands? Who judges whose hands it ought to be in? You know, everybody that I know in life that has been financially successful, number one, they all work more than 8 hours a day. I don't know people that work 8 hours a day. Any of you here work 8 hours a day? You better not because you'll be fired. I mean, everyone that works for me, I'm looking at Kyle, I'm looking at all my whole staff here, everybody. They all eat their lunch at their desk. Now, in fairness, I pay for their lunch. But the last thing I need is for them to step on out for an hour to go have a lunch in the middle of producing a radio show. I eat right here in my studio just before airtime. I eat my usually egg whites. That's my first meal of the day. That's what I eat. And they eat sushi and steaks and, they have ice cream sundaes like yesterday and all sorts of stuff. They get all and we use Grubhub and we all have the food delivered. Anyway, it's that extreme. Then they want to get rid of plastic out in California. Then they want a tax on top of a 13.5% state income tax. Now they want to tax drinking water. What do you get for your taxes? You get highways in California that are parking lots. In New York, you got the most dilapidated, broken down infrastructure, and still you're paying $15 each way when you cross over one of the bridges in New York or one of the tunnels in New York. And then you're wondering when you're driving through the tunnel whether or not you're going to be in a scene of a movie where the water starts crushing in because it looks that dilapidated. And the bridges look like they can collapse any second of any day. But that's the new radical extremist Democratic Socialist Party. This is now everything they were hiding in 2018 before the election is now coming out, including their endless investigations. The fact that they want to eliminate ICE. They want to open borders. They want to impeach Trump, which we saw last Friday. This is how extreme it's gotten. Now, look, most people don't talk about abortion. It's settled law with Roe v. Wade. I know a lot of Americans like me. I happen to believe life begins at conception. I think that honest people can say, well, if it's not a child that can that is viable outside of the womb with the mother's without the mother's help, okay, I understand it. I don't agree with it. Fair enough. Most states allow for that. And there's always the myth that if you put a Supreme Court justice that's an originalist that does, that thinks Roe is bad law, that that means abortion is going to be illegal in the country. It's not true because the states will all have their laws and people want to get it. Now, I would prefer that people, you know, there are consequences to our behaviors. Everybody knows how you get pregnant. I don't think that many people are ignorant about the process of getting pregnant. There are a lot of choices if you're pro-choice in the lead up to the moment where you get pregnant. Let's say you're in the back of the car. You have all your clothes on. One article of clothing after another. That's a choice. There goes the coat. There's a choice. There goes the hat. There's a choice. There goes the shirt. There goes the undershirt. There goes the jeans. And you get my point. But each article of clothing you take, it's a choice. Then you choose not to use birth control. Everybody knows about birth control, widely available. You can even get it for free in bars in New York. Colleges offer it all over the place. And you can actually buy it very inexpensively at any drugstore. And most towns have a 24-hour drugstore open. All right, so there are options, choices. But here's where it gets so really twisted to me. Because in New York, they had what's called the Reproductive Health Act, just passed by the New York State Legislature. The most permissive abortion law in the United States, and legalizing abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. All 9 months. Now, we know, let's say it's the day before you're about to give birth, that would be legal to abort that child. But that child is a viable individual at that point. That child can live on its own. Matter of fact, we have premature babies, you know, what, 5.5, 6 months. And we can put them in incubators. And we, you know, on one floor, I guess, of a hospital, you're going to have all of this modern technical equipment that was built to save lives. And if somebody chooses in New York, that they have been given the right to infanticide. That is a human life at that point that could live on its own. Where's the compassion of the Democratic Party? You know, they only define someone as a person who has actually been born. So up to the second you're given birth, you know, people can do that. I'll give you another crazy New York law that ought to scare everybody. And I didn't know about this. Linda, you know about this law in New York where they actually have there's a case that's going now through the courts. The guy is Joel Christopher Paul. He lives in Queens. He had a home intruder incident in the early morning hours of July 30th, 2017, 27 years old, and he was home in his Springfield Gardens apartment. He was with his mom, brother, sister, and when someone attempted to break into their house. Now, the intruder, who had traveled north from Maryland after being named a suspect in a shooting there 10 days earlier. Now, they, at the time, were also expecting a pizza delivery. Anyway, so Paul's brother, his 16-year-old brother, Michael, went to the door and discovered this guy that wants to break in, trying to break in. And then Michael literally forced the guy to the surrounding area. His mother called for help. The other brother, Joel, you know, adrenaline rushing, I'm sure, through his veins, answered the call. He comes down with a bat and a knife because this guy's now broken into their house. And by the time it was all over, you know, I guess he got the ultimate lesson in picking the wrong house. The guy ended up dying because he went in the house, was there to attack and break in and attack the family. And both brothers avoided arrest. They remained home after the incident. But then months later, you have a district attorney in Queens submitting the case to a grand jury, bring charges. The guy was breaking into their house. They were waiting for pizza. Now, get this. You've heard a ham sandwich can be indicted. Anyway, so now this case is going on, facing first-degree manslaughter charges. And part of the trouble, and I didn't know this existed in New York has what they call a retreat doctrine. You know, like Florida has stand your ground. Anyway, the theory, you know, apparently fit for a law class discussion, you know, law school discussion, it holds that even though their home was being broken into, that the homeowner, quote, has a duty to run and to hide if it's safe to do so. It's an obligation, like most New Yorkers that I've asked my friends, you ever hear of this? Never heard of this before. And that apparently is what the DA is going to be pursuing in this particular case. You know, most other reasonable jurisdictions would have left the guy alone because he was the victim of a crime and this guy caused the violent response from the family that just wanted a pizza. Now, there's also, and I think it's an abuse of prosecutorial discretion here as well. The DA should have recognized the guy was forced to make a split-second decision involving the fate and life of his family and defending his family, which everyone naturally, instinctively would do. But I never heard that we had a government that says that you literally, as a matter of law, have an obligation to run and to hide when somebody breaks into your house. Well, what are you supposed to do then when the guy follows you into your house? If you can't protect yourself in your own home and someone can invade your home, that is the most insane law I've ever heard. All right, quick break. We'll come back. More of our final hour news roundup and your calls coming up at the bottom of this half hour. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, News Roundup, Information Overload Hour. All right, so the president is midway in this last segment, took to the microphones. I've said rather than just run pieces of it, what we'll do is we will run the entirety of the president's comments. Looks like he's going on now, and we'll play that at the bottom of this half hour. Then we'll also get your calls in as well. Linda's like sitting in there amazed at, they want you in New York to run and hide. If you have somebody breaks into your house, they want you to run and hide.
Yeah, I mean, I think
New York
it's pretty
now,
crazy, man.
You can have an abortion up to the moment before you give birth. I mean, that is called infanticide. That is a fully formed child.
I really struggle with this. I truly, you know, having lost a child, having gone through the process of losing my second son and them having to remove my child that had died inside of me and going through, I don't know how anybody willingly takes a living child out of their body. I could barely get through it when I lost my child.
You know, at some point, you just look at the radicalism of that position. We've debated when life begins at conception, when viability. You know, my niece, Cassie, as you know, had a little baby girl not that long ago, and she kept sending me all of the new sonograms, and they're nothing like, you know.
No, they're crazy. The 4D ones are amazing.
Very early in the pregnancy, you see definition. You see eyes, nose, hands, fingers, and toes, and that you never saw before. Like when my kids were being born, but, you know, that's 17, 20 years ago.
I will tell you, a friend of mine was in here the other day and we were talking about this woman who used to work for Planned Parenthood, and she was doing all the communications for it, and they asked her to come in and see an abortion. So she did. Mm. And it was on a 3-month fetus, and the fetus is fighting the scissors as it tries to enter the womb to kill it.
Ugh.
And she watched it and she left Planned Parenthood and now works against.
How do you justify?
Because they don't know. It's ignorance, and ignorance is bliss.
Excuse me. They know that that's a viable child.
At
they
9 months? Absolutely.
Yeah,
but a lot of these people, they lie to themselves.
All right. So the president now, both bills, as we predicted, went down, and Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell meeting as we speak, maybe a down payment, short-term opening of the government. Maybe the president just has to go the national emergency route. We'll play his comments when we get back in your calls, 800-941-SHAWN. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. As we predicted early in the program, the two varying Senate bills on trying to get past this impasse and get the border wall funded have, were voted down. I don't know why I coughed. It just came out of nowhere. So almost immediately, both in the House and the Senate, they have reconvened to try and finally, for the first time, do something. The plan is to give the president a prorated down payment on wall funding, as they are asking for, like, this was what Lindsey Graham had proposed, a 3-week period or so for them to do their job, let the furloughed workers get their back pay, et cetera, so that they're not overly burdened. And then perhaps the president, then if they can't get their job done, then he goes the national emergency route. But anyway, so the president just moments ago speaking about what's going on, here's what he said.
Thank you all very much. I appreciate it. Thank
you. Of the temporary spending, the reopen the government.
Well, one of the ideas suggested is they open it, they pay a sort of a prorated down payment for the wall, which I think people will agree that you need. You need the wall. In fact, I see a lot of the Democrats are all, almost all of them are breaking, saying, look, walls are good. Walls are good. Big difference from what you had 2 or 3 weeks ago. And the vote, we had the vote on our bill, which we won 50 to 47. That was our bill. But we got one Democrat. It was 50 to 47. And we need, as you know, we have to get 60. We don't have 60 votes, so we need Democrat support. We didn't get Democrat support other than from a actually wonderful man, as you know, Senator Manchin. And who's doing the right thing for his people? I mean, he's doing the right thing for West Virginia, frankly. And the other bill, it was 52-44. And that included a lot of hurricane relief for a lot of different states. So it's sort of not something some of them really voted for, the hurricane relief, which they felt they needed. That was 52-44. But you need 60, so that didn't go anywhere. So we knew they both were not going to go anywhere, we thought. And now Mitch is negotiating with Chuck Schumer. And we'll see what happens. I think they just left a meeting. They just had a meeting. I think they're going out to see their people, but they just left. So we had two bills. I think we did very well. The Republicans held, except for two. The Republicans held. Two were not there. They couldn't. They weren't able to be there. So there were two non-votes. But even with two non-votes, I think they would have been good votes for us. It's 50 to 47. We won. But we need 60 votes because of the 60-vote rule. And so I just really want to thank the Republicans for holding. Again, on the other one, that was the opening up. That's 52-44, but you need 60 votes, so it's a long way short. And a lot of that, a lot of those votes were based on the fact that there was hurricane relief for certain states.
But would you be able to temporary spending without money for the wall? Would you just to reopen the
Well, I wouldn't be happy with it. I wouldn't be happy. But we have a lot of alternatives. Honestly, we have everybody. Look, for the most part, people agree. When I say everybody, I would say almost everybody agree. We have to have border security. We have to have a wall in order to have border security. You cannot have border security without a wall. I mean, we can play games and we can talk about technology. We can talk about drones flying around. You know, right now, formed is an 8,000-person caravan. And the caravan is heading our way. Congratulations. We have another one. We stopped the first one. We stopped the second one. I wouldn't say that Tijuana is too happy, but they're happily living in Tijuana right now. And a lot of them have gone back, but we stopped them. But it's very tough. And if we didn't have a wall in those areas, it would have been very hard to stop them. We have the military and we have the Border Patrol. They've done an incredible job. And ICE has done an incredible job all over the country, frankly. We've removed thousands of MS-13 and others out of our country. But if we had a wall, we wouldn't have that problem. It would be great. So we have a lot of alternatives. But I'm just honored that almost all of the Republicans voted for our bill. Our bill is the bill that we were really focused on. But we had almost all of the Republicans. So the end result was 50 to 47. The Democrats lost one that came over to our side. So they pretty much held, and we held. And again, we were missing two Republicans. They couldn't vote. They were not here.
Mr. President, do you support the results?
Do you think there's enough movement to end the shutdown soon, or do you have to see
that? Well, I have to find out. After this meeting, we'll find out. But right now, Mitch McConnell's meeting with Chuck Schumer, and see if they'll have to see what happens. They're meeting to see if they can work out something, maybe on a temporary basis where we start. But I have, you know, we have a lot of alternatives. There are a lot of people that want this to happen. I'll tell you who wants this to happen. The military wants this to happen. Because this is a virtual invasion of our country, of drugs, of human traffickers, of so many different things, of criminals. It's an invasion of our country. And the military wants this to happen. And the Border Patrol wants this to happen. And by the way, Border Patrol said all of the drones flying up in the air, having a lot of fun flying drones all over the place, they don't mean a thing when they look down and they see thousands of people rushing our border. The only thing that works is a strong barrier, a wall.
Have you talked to Nancy Pelosi?
I have not. I haven't spoken to Nancy Pelosi, no. No, but I'm here, you know? I haven't left except for a beautiful evening in Iraq. I've been here for a long time.
Mr. President, did you see Wilbur Ross said that he doesn't understand why federal workers would need help getting food? Can you understand?
No, I haven't. I haven't heard the statement, but I do understand. Perhaps he should have said it differently. Local people know who they are when they go for groceries and everything else. And I think what Wilbur is probably trying to say is that they will work along. I know banks are working along. If you have mortgages, the mortgagees, the folks collecting the interest and all of those things, they work along. And that's what happens in time like this. They know the people. They've been dealing with them for years, and they work along. The grocery store. And I think that's probably what Wilbur Ross meant. But I haven't seen his statement, no. But he's done a great job. I will tell you that. Yes.
Venezuela, I just want to know, aren't you worried to leave the American diplomats behind?
Well, we're looking at Venezuela. It's a very sad situation. That was the richest state in all of that area. That's a big, beautiful area, and by far the richest. And now it's one of the poorest places in the world. That's what socialism gets you when they want to raise your taxes to 70%. You know, it's interesting. I've been watching our opponents, our future opponents, talking about 70%. Number one, they can't do it for 70%. It's got to be probably twice that number. But maybe more importantly, what happens is you really have to study and take a look at what's happened to Venezuela. Right. It is a very, very sad situation. So we have our eye very closely on Venezuela, very closely.
Mr. President, if Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer can come to some sort of agreement, will you support the results of this?
Well, it depends what the agreement is. I mean, yeah, but if they come to a reasonable agreement, I would support it. Yeah.
Even if it has no wall money? Or does it have to have wall money?
Look. I have other alternatives if I have to, and I'll use those alternatives if I have to. We want to go through the system. We have to have a wall in this country. We have criminals pouring into our country. And I'm not talking about the southern border. They don't stay there. They go through, they permeate all throughout the country, including places like Wisconsin, a lot of different places. And that's the problem. I say that we would cut our crime, you know, we're doing very well on crime rate compared to past years and past administrations. But I think our crime rate would go way down. And I know our drug rates, what's happening is the drugs are pouring in. And yes, they come through the ports of entry, but the big trucks come through areas where you don't have a wall and you have wide open spaces. We have to have the wall. You'd stop drugs. You'd stop human trafficking. I mean, human trafficking, where they tie up women and they put duct tape on their mouths and they put them in the back seat of a car or in a van. They don't come through a port of entry because the people at the port of entry are going to see that. That's not like hiding drugs in the engine or in the hubcaps. And they have incredible, ingenious ideas. I mean, frankly, I've said some of these people are so genius. If they were ever legit, they'd become very rich people. But what they do is they go through the ports of entry with small stuff, but the big stuff comes through areas where you have nobody watching. I mean, you have hundreds of miles of open space, and they go out there, and they're loaded up with drugs, or they have women in the back seat of the cars with duct tape all over the place. It's a disgrace. And you don't catch them. They make a left. You don't even know the difference between Mexico and the United States. They make a left turn after they go out 20 miles, 40 miles, 5 miles in some cases and less. They make a left turn. They're in the United States. And then they do whatever they have to do. You need the wall. And we can all play games and we can all talk about technology. I know more about technology than anybody. If you don't have the wall, the technology doesn't work. First of all, the wall is based on, I mean, it's all based. Any technology works only with the wall. Not going to work otherwise. You need the wall. In fact, a lot of the technology is put on top of the wall. That's how you see it, the cameras and everything else. I mean, they literally put the technology, they fasten it to the wall. Then you have drone technology, and that's great. In terms of what are you going to do? You're going to follow the people? First of all, once they step into the country, you know what happens, right? You know what they do. It's called, what do they call it, you know? They put one foot in our country, right? and we got them. That's it. So the drones don't help us. We have to keep it out. We have no choice but to have a wall or a barrier. And if we don't have that, it's just not going to work. So it's very important to me. All right, one more question.
What's your message to federal workers who are missing another paycheck this week?
I love them. I respect them. I really appreciate the great job they're doing. Many of those people that are not getting paid are totally in favor of what we're doing because they know the future of this country is dependent on having a strong border, especially a strong southern border, because we have tremendous violence and crime coming through that border. We have tremendous drugs. We have the human trafficking. We have MS-13 and gangs pouring through those borders. And if we don't strengthen those borders, we're going to have a big problem in the future. One of the people I blame is myself, because the economy is so strong right now, stronger than ever before. Today, right now, we have more people working in the United States than has ever worked in this country before. That's a great compliment. So I blame myself, okay? But the fact is, people come up because our country is doing so well, and they want to break through our borders. The fact is, we want them to come up. We took in more people last year legally than we have in a long time. Because we need them, because we have a lot of companies are coming into our country. So we need people coming in. I want people to come in, but they have to come in legally, and they have to come in through merit. They have to be able to help companies. And if they don't help companies, and if they don't help our country, we can't do that, folks. We just can't do that, right?
Why did you decide to agree to Nancy Pelosi then?
Well, it's really her choice. I mean, I would have done it in a different location, but I think that would be very disrespectful to the State of the Union to pick some other place. I could have done it. I could have gone to a big auditorium and gotten 25,000 people in one day, and you've been there many times. But I think that would be very disrespectful to the State of the Union. So what she said, I thought, was actually reasonable. We'll have the State of the Union when the shutdown is over.
Where do you think that's going to be?
That I can't tell you. But we have a lot of alternatives, but we need border security. Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, John.
Okay. That's the president. I think he's in the...
All right. So that was the president. Looked like he was in the Roosevelt room to me. Nice hat, Linda. Here's what's happened. I told you the two bills would fail today as anticipated because you got to get to cloture, 60 votes. Now we have a push among Republicans and Democrats in the Senate that there would be give them a period of time. This was Lindsey Graham's proposal, about maybe 3 or 4 weeks, with the president getting the prorated monies of the $5.7 billion, which I guess would be around $700-800 million, for the wall. Give them an opportunity to fix the problem. And as the president said, I have other alternatives. I will use the other alternatives. Now, this just broke on CNN, where it says the White House has prepared a draft national emergency and identified $7 billion for the wall. In other words, if he gives them the time with prorated money coming in every day that they want to try and fix it, and then if it doesn't go through, well, then the White House has apparently proclaimed and prepared a proclamation for the president to declare the national emergency on the southern border, which, by the way, you know, they won't even talk. What choice does he have? Now, that might take a little longer, but he gets the prorated money to work with in the first place. But it might take longer because there'll be a lawsuit. It'll go judge shopping. They'll go to the Ninth Circuit, and then it'll get to the Supreme Court, where he should win because he's the commander in chief, and he has, it's his job to protect and the borders of this country, and the case is more than compelling. The evidence, the amount of drugs, cartels, gangs, all of the arguments that have been made, the number of crimes that have been perpetrated on the American people, it's a pretty compelling case. Anyway, so we'll have the latest on this tonight. By the way, some people have disagreed with me about the president should not go anywhere else but the House chamber for the State of the Union. Because nowhere else will you get that same feel, the grandeur of, Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'll buy you a megaphone.
No. And the pageantry of that moment, he should have. So I think anything less than that would be foolish. So anyway, we'll have all this tonight, and we have deep state news that is breaking as we speak. We'll have it 9 on Hannity. All right, that wraps things up. We'll have all of this news tonight on Hannity, and we're going to break a big story on the deep state. 9 Eastern, Hannity, Fox. Thanks for being with us. See you tonight. Back here tomorrow.